From GPB News, this is On Second Thought. I'm Tony Harris in for Celeste Headley. The Senate has tabled health care reform for now, but Medicaid is still very much on the chopping block.
What our goal is to make it so folks on Medicaid, the most vulnerable in our society, those moms and kids and the seniors and the disabled, that program works for them.
That's Republican Tom Price, Secretary of Health and Human Services. One in five Georgians are insured by Medicaid or its complement for children, Peach Care. We talk about who the safety net will protect later this hour. But first, yesterday we heard a conversation with photographer Billy Howard about making portraits of people infected with HIV during the 1980s.
The reason that he trusted me was that the first thing I did when I met him was reach out to shake his hand. And that was a period of time when a lot of healthcare workers would not touch somebody with AIDS unless they had latex gloves on. And
here are your first thoughts.
Hello, my name is Tamara, and I'm calling from the Savannah area. I had interviewed for a position as a public health nurse working with HIV patients, and the starting pay was $32,000 a year. That is not a comparable pay for a bachelor's prepared nurse to work with a high-risk population. So if Georgia wants to decrease its HIV infection rate, they need skilled, fairly paid public health nurses to go out into the community and work with high-risk populations. Until they're willing to invest in fighting this horrible virus, things are only going to get worse.
We always want to know what you think. Give us a call at 404-500-9457. We're on Twitter at OST Talk, or you can post to Facebook, and we might feature some of your comments on the program. President Trump has unveiled his plan for tougher trade restrictions on Cuba.
Our new policy begins with strictly enforcing U.S. law. We will not lift sanctions on the Cuban regime until all political prisoners are freed.
Some of the biggest losers could be Georgia chicken farmers. Georgia is a leading poultry producer. Cuba is its second largest market. Joining us now is James Sumner, president of the USA Poultry and Egg Export Council. Also with us is Marissa Ann Pognatero. She is a professor of business ethics at the University of Georgia. Thank you both for being with us. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
So, Jim first and then to Marissa, same question. When you heard that from the president, Jim, what was your reaction?
Well, we didn't know what to think. U.S. chicken, and a lot of that comes from Georgia, has become the leading export to Cuba, practically our only export to Cuba. And it's been growing every year for the last 15 years since we lifted the trade restrictions for agricultural products about 15 years ago. So we were concerned.
Yeah. Marissa, how about you? What was your reaction?
Well, I was concerned about how it would go into effect and what the ramifications would be for business. And so as we take a look at what actually was part of that announcement, we'll see that he didn't completely roll back President Obama's policies, only parts of them.
Jim, when the Obama administration eased some of the financial restrictions and U.S. firms could begin offering Cuban-run businesses credit, did Georgia take advantage of that, take that opportunity to expand its chicken business with Cuba?
Well, we've never been able to extend credit to Cuba. That's one of the things that was never accomplished. I think Obama wanted to, but it was not. And in fact, the fact that we cannot extend them credit has ensured that we have been paid for every pound of chicken that we've delivered to Cuba. Mm. And we're the only country in the world, I'm sure, that can say that. Cuba does not have the best record of paying its debts.
Right, right. Jim, did you see the president's statement? Boy, if he truly means it, every word of it, in part that Cuba has to release all of its political prisoners, and I don't think none of us can see that, envision that happening. So if the president is to be taken at his word, do you see it as a threat to Georgia's chickens, to Cuba trade relationship?
Well, we met with one of Sonny Perdue's, his top trade advisor, just a week ago. Actually, the day before the president made his announcement in Miami, And we were assured that trade would not be affected. And since we're practically the only trade,
that set
well with our group that was meeting at that time. So we're hoping that's not the case. But you never know how the Cuban government, and it's actually the Cuban government, an arm of the Cuban government, Al Import, that our industry sells to. You never know how they're going to react. But I think the long and the short of it is Cuba is desperate for the product. They can find no other protein that is more economical than chicken leg quarters, which is a result of U.S. consumers preferring the breast meat so we can sell the leg quarters cheaper. So
U.S. consumers prefer the white meat, and the Cubans prefer the brown meat.
And so does most everybody else around the world.
Most everyone else, okay.
It works. It's a marriage made in heaven.
Okay, so Marissa, what did you learn from your recent trip to Cuba? Do the Cuban people they want more trade with the United States?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. It was amazing how much enthusiasm there was around President Obama's visit to Cuba. It signaled an opening of trade, and the amount of people we met who were entrepreneurs in the travel sector was stunning, particularly people who were renting their homes through Airbnb, private sector restaurants. It was definitely thriving, and I was surprised to see it.
Yeah, if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with James Sumner, president of the USA Poultry and Egg Export Council, and Marissa Ann Pagnotaro, a professor at the University of Georgia. And Jim, take us back a bit here. In 1960, only medicine and canned goods, right, could be shipped to Cuba. How did Georgia get into this business, into the chicken business with Cuba? Did it start in 2002?
yes, 2001, 2002 with Hurricane Michelle. And at that time, our government offered Cuba food aid, and Castro very cleverly said, "I'm not going to accept your handouts. I'll only take it if I can pay for it." Mm-hmm. And that's what started agriculture and food trade with Cuba. And we were quick to take a trade group down there in 2002 and met personally with Fidel. And at that time, he said, "You know," he says, "I've done some studying," and he says, "I can compute easily that it's more economical for us to import our chicken from the U.S. than it is to try and produce our own." They still grow their own eggs,
but they've
been dependent upon imports ever since then. And prior to then, Canada and Europe and South America was primarily supplying them, but since 2002, it's been predominantly the U.S.
Right. So, Marissa, you're our professor of business ethics. I'm wondering, was there much thought, much discussion as to whether Georgia should be doing business at all, of any kind, with Cuba, given its human rights record?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I think that a lot of people believe that pressure to make progress on human rights is a condition to opening trade is not particularly successful. I spent a lot of time looking at China, and if you look at that as a model, you can see that they were allowed to join the WTO in 2001, and now it's a flourishing economy despite the fact that there are still human rights issues. So with Cuba, opening trade, I think, is a way for people to get a voice. An important point, I think, to really focus on is that when President Obama entered into negotiations, part of that was opening up the internet to Cuba. Mm-hmm. And now the Cuban government has opened public Wi-Fi access. And that is, you know, an essential component to changing both the commercial and political landscape, I think, in Cuba.
Yeah, but Marissa, I guess the more poignant question is, has doing business with Cuba meant aiding a repressive regime? And if the answer to that is yes, how do we feel about that?
I mean, that's a difficult call. I mean, in some ways, you could say it aids the regime. In another way, you're helping the Cuban people get on their feet. I mean, trade with Cuba has opened up tremendous opportunities for the Cuban people. So I think that you have to look at the larger picture. Interestingly enough, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch has been in favor of President Obama's policies to open up trade.
Yeah, yeah. Jim, I'll put that same question to you because, look, you've been dealing with this from the very beginning. What are your thoughts on this question of whether doing business with Cuba has meant aiding a repressive regime. Have you kicked that discussion around a bit?
We have, and it's obvious that the Cuban government was trying to make use of this as a political ploy to gain more support. I mean, they would methodically go to different states and import products from as many different states as they could and receive congressional delegations. I think they were pretty good at political upsmanship. But, you know, we kind of look at it from the standpoint, like Maria said, of helping the people. And if they don't have chicken to eat, if they don't have protein, they're going hungry. And in fact, the recent uptake in tourism to Cuba really put a strain on their food supply, and a lot of the chicken that was going to their own citizens got used for tourists instead. So this puts some further strains in the system. Yeah. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Well, let me push that dynamic a little further here. Jim, has any of the profits made through the sale of Georgia chickens to Cuba gone to those whose property, right, was confiscated by the Cuban government during the Castro years?
Well, I don't think we have too many former Cuban exiles in the poultry industry.
Sure.
But what we have done, we have taken some of the proceeds, and our World Poultry Foundation has tried to invest and support the Cuban egg industry to bring it out of its pre-1920 era situation, and to try to provide assistance to them just as a showing of goodwill. So we have done that with our organizations.
So, Marissa, as you sit here today, do you want to see the embargo fully lifted?
Ultimately, yes. I think that opening trade will lead to changes within Cuba. But I think it probably is something that needs to take place step by step in terms of negotiations with the Cubans.
And Jim, do you see the former, first of all, do you share that view? And if you do you see the former Georgia governor, current agriculture secretary, Sonny Perdue, pushing to lift the embargo?
Well, I do agree that we would like to see the embargo lifted. Of course, if we had U.S. tourism, that would raise their economy to a new level that would benefit everyone and all sorts of commerce in Georgia and elsewhere, including our airlines and such. But whether Secretary Perdue will take that position, I don't know. I know he's a big supporter of our poultry industry, and sometimes I think you can only go so far in pushing President Trump into certain areas. But he's been remarkable that he's been somewhat flexible, and when presented with both sides, I think he has oftentimes erred in the popular opinion. So we just hope that's continues to be the case.
You've said a mouthful there. That is Jim Sumner, president of the USA Poultry and Egg Export Council. Marissa Ann Pagnotero is associate dean and professor at UGA Terry College of Business. Thank you both. And just ahead, shining a light on local government transparency from the Blue Ridge to the Fulton County Courthouse. This is On Second Thought.